Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our talk for this morning, Confident in the Gospel. We're beginning a new series this week. Last week, we finished our series reflecting on the realities of unanswered prayer with Lisa, speaking about the hope we always have, a hope rooted in eternity rather than our present world, but a hope that also profoundly affects every aspect of life now. That hope might be obscured by our pain. It might be challenged when our now is compromised by the presence of the struggles of the not yet aspect of God's kingdom. But that hope is real and genuine, even in the face of the worst things we experience. And cradling, nurturing, encouraging, and feeding that hope is vital. Having eternal confidence in God, who is everything to us, even within this complex and tainted world, is the message of the gospel. In Psalm 16, verse 2, the psalmist says, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." Everything good comes from God. It reflects God's good, creative, generous, and loving character. The gospel, that is the good news of Jesus, declares that in Jesus, the goodness of God has overcome all the evil in our world, and that our future is to thrive within the reality of God's eternal goodness, even though in our present, which often at least in part reflects the not yet of God's kingdom, we might, as Peter says, for a little while face difficulties in this world. God, this has never been a secret for followers of Jesus. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus puts it like this. He says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Take heart, because although we will have trouble, he has overcome the world, and that reality will be for all of us in God's time. And God is firmly in control of that ultimate destiny. Well, as we said, we're beginning a new series today, and over the next 6 weeks, we're going to go through the book of 1 Peter, a letter that the Apostle Peter wrote to the churches in Asia Minor. The series is titled Confidence in a Complex World. So next week, the second talk, Confident in Identity, will be about knowing who we are as God's children and understanding the related role we play amongst our own communities. Then number three, Confident in Our World, living out that identity and role as God's children outside the walls of the church in the context of our everyday lives. Then number four, Confident in Relationships, as we live as Christians, our faith in God manifests as a gentle and humble, servant-hearted yet confident attitude. And those around us will see the presence of God in our way of being. Then number five, Confident in Witness. When people see our way of being and know we are Christians, that will present opportunities to talk about our faith. And number six, the last talk, Confident in Community. All of that living for God in our world and sharing about him flows from the reality of our local church community. This is where we gather to be refreshed and encouraged, hopefully physically again soon. And today, number one, Confident in the Gospel. Helpfully, we're starting right at the beginning, at the most basic level, by asking, how can we be confident in this story that underlies all these other aspects of our journey? This good news that many around us seem to think is nonsense or irrelevant, that might bring us ridicule or even worse in some parts of the world. How can we be confident in that story? Well, Peter thinks he knows certainly the picture that I just painted there was the reality faced by these churches in Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey, and worse, probably a rather more brutal world than most of us face today. Because these churches would have been the ones planted, started by the Apostle Paul that we read about in Acts as Paul travelled throughout that region. These were people who had responded to this gospel message preached among them, people who had responded to the call to live for Christ, to be distinctive within their communities. But this was now bringing them grief as their faith was considered not only ridiculous but also subversive to the status quo of Roman society where they lived. They faced persecution and their faith was therefore being put to the test, and Peter is reassuring them in their faith and urging them to continue to live according to it. But why should they? How could they? And how can we have confidence in this gospel message? Well, it's true. I think that's a good place to start. Peter says, this is verse 3 and 4, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." That's quite a sentence, isn't it? Actually, this whole section is some paragraph. Well, people doubt this. People even doubt the existence of Jesus. You know, I don't mean that serious historians, whether Christian or atheist. I don't think anyone serious in that sense doubts that Jesus lived. People that I meet sometimes do. Well, certainly many people doubt the more profound claim of resurrection. Yeah, it's true. Now, I'm preaching to the choir, I know, but it's good for us to think about this for a moment. Well, there are, I believe, 4 written records of Jesus' death aside from the many biblical accounts that are in the Gospels and other letters in the Bible that are themselves historical documents. For example, the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus and the Roman historian Tacitus, they both record Jesus' crucifixion in their writings. So we know that he lived and we know that he was executed. Well, what about the resurrection, this key and profound claim? The Apostle Paul affirms in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, that if this is not true, then our faith is worthless. Apart from the biblical record that clearly tells us that it's true, we look at what flowed on from that event. One of the key arguments for the veracity of the gospel message is that all these people, the 500 brothers and sisters that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 15, who met the resurrected Christ, believed so strongly in that message that they followed Jesus, even in the face of severe persecution and death. You know, something incredible had happened, and we see that reflected in the life of the early church. So the circumstances there, they confirm the story. What about the persecution? What about that persecution that Peter mentions there? He says, "Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." And he goes on, "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." What's he talking about? Well, he is not saying that God is making bad things happen to test them. Now, Peter is encouraging them that although they face trials, these will strengthen their faith. Now, they would have had a different view of what to expect from life 2,000 years ago. No modern hospitals or dentists and various other things that we take for granted now that have improved life for us. It's worth noting that their simple view of what to expect from life would have been rather different. But also, this is not about finding strength from the troubles that sometimes befall us, as we've been discussing in the series we've just finished. It's not about that. This is very specifically persecution from people who think that the faith of these early believers is nonsense and also dangerous. These new Christians, they're subverting the contemporary way of life. For example, they refuse to see Caesar as God. Instead, they speak of the good news of Jesus, which controversially reappropriates the Roman language that would have been used about the emperor. In exactly the same way, they say Jesus is Lord, not Caesar is Lord. And the result, they are being marginalized and attacked because of this. This is going to make them think deeply about what they believe. Their faith will be proved genuine and will grow stronger as they cling to their core beliefs, holding on to nothing frivolous or unnecessary. So their difficult experience could actually have a positive long-term effect on their faith. So this is not a reason to lose confidence in the story, but might actually grow that confidence through a kind of maturing process. How does that happen? How do they manage to go through that? How can you have so much faith in a story, even if it is true, when you're facing all of that? What could drive people to endure such hardships? You know, here we really get to the heart of the issue. This story that we believe, yes, it's true, but it is much more than that. It is also alive. Peter says about Jesus, this is verse 8 and 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with a glorious an inexpressible joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Salvation is a living relationship with the Creator of the universe. You know, again, I know I'm preaching the choir, but it is good to talk about this stuff. When we meet God, when the Holy Spirit comes to us, that really does change our lives. So Peter said back in verse 3, he has given us new birth into a living hope. This story, this message, this gospel, our hope is alive within us, a living hope. So how can we be confident in the gospel? How can we not? As God wonderfully invades our lives, we can't help but be confident in that story. Well, let's say a little bit about this before we move on to the end, and then we'll pray. Yeah, the presence of God can be overwhelming, can't it, sometimes, in a good way. At the beginning, we experience God's Spirit, and we can think that things will be easy. You know, I can speak from my own experience. This living hope, it comes into your life and it is world changing for you. You know, my instinctive reaction was, when I had this initial experience with God, that I have to tell everyone about Jesus. But you soon learn that that is easier said than done. You tell other people, but to them it's just a story, and perhaps a bit of a weird one sometimes, especially if they know nothing of it from their upbringing. So instead we learn, don't we? We grow as we walk with God, And we learn to follow his lead, to see where he is working in someone else's life. We learn to be led by him as we seek to share that message. And we're going to talk more about that in week 5 as we come to that talk about sharing the gospel. So this living hope, it brought a radical change for those early Christians. You know, they were turning away from their old way of life and embracing Christ, being drawn into the heart of God's community. For them meant being pushed to the edge of their earthly communities. That wasn't easy for them. They likely faced greater marginalization than we ever will. But it's true that we also may face that too, as our relationship with God and our desire to live for him changes us, changes our behavior, changes our priorities. We are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy by God's Spirit as he shares, as God comes to us and shares his life with us. But that will also bring us challenges as we have to learn to live with people who aren't interested, wanting to share this wonderful message, but needing lots of patience on that journey. So this is a living message. I'm certain that we can't help but be confident in it. And we need to learn to shape that confidence into all those other fruits of the Spirit, all those other wonderful characteristics that display our relationship with God for all to see. It is good for us to learn about the early church, to see the truth of the gospel message reflected in the commitment of God's children then, and that exponential growth of the church. And it is vital for us to cling to that message together as we do church community, as the Spirit of God lives in us and fills us with glorious joy and confidence in God's salvation. It's such a wonderful message. We do face all kinds of challenges, not persecution probably like they faced back then, but we do face challenges as we try to share, as we talk to people, and we find out that it's not going to be quite as easy as we had hoped to share that story. But as we cling together to that message, our confidence will remain strong, and we will not be able to hope but be confident in that message. And coming to God and to his Spirit is key in that. So let's come to him now, shall we? Let's pray together. Father God, this story, this gospel message is such a wonderful story. We acknowledge that every aspect of it comes from you and is brought to life in us by your Spirit. So Lord, help us to be sensitive to that. Give us such strength in your story that it is unshakable in us. And make us sensitive to how we might be able to live that and to share that in our communities. Lord, we long to live for you, and we know that that only happens when we continue and maintain our relationship with you together. So Lord, bless us, we pray, by the presence of your Spirit in the lives of each and every one of us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.